The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 other disciples whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. In whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will not return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his pay. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord. St. Paul says, "Life in Christ Jesus to Timothy, my dear child." Did St. Paul have children? He said, "My dear child." How are we going to interpret that? He had children. It's interesting. Okay, let's talk about another way of having children. This is called spiritual paternity or spiritual maternity. Because he says, we can't deny, this is the word of God that Shane read, "Timothy, my dear child." Okay, so there is biological maternity and paternity that most of you have, but then there is spiritual paternity. And that's what nuns, priests, and bishops exercise. Let's talk about that. Okay, every time a priest baptizes in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, you have a spiritual birth there. Do you believe that? There's spiritual birth. The parents and godparents come into the church with a little baby that's a pagan. He is the essence of paganism. He's the epitome of paganism. When he lives, he's a child of God. So a certain sense, if I baptize, I can say that that child that I may never see again, he's my spiritual child. He's been brought forth by water and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, unless you be born of water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 to Nicodemus. Let's move on. Last night, as is often my custom, I was there in the confessional from 6 to 8:30, nonstop. Long line of people coming, thanks be to God. And every time I finished with every penitent, I said, "And I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." What happened there? Spiritual paternity. Those people who came into the confessional left spiritually regenerated, spiritually renewed, spiritually reborn through the words of, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the way, I did not give you general absolution, okay? If you're thinking that I gave you general absolution, that would be abuse of the sacrament, okay? Only in the plane that's going down, if you don't die, you still have to go individually anyway, okay? But they're spiritual. Fraternity exercise once again. Another way. In a short time, God willing, I'll be taking a little bit of bread, a little bit of wine, and I'll be pronouncing the same words that Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago. Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. So Jesus is going to be born in my hands. There you have Bethlehem, the house of bread. There you have also Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. God is with the priest. But one more step. When I lift up the host and say, the body of Christ, you say, Amen. Spiritual paternity. Jesus Christ is going to be born in the very depths of your heart. Your heart becomes a new Bethlehem. The city of Bethlehem, you are the city of Bethlehem. You're the house on the hill. This is spiritual maternity. I haven't finished. Now let's go from sacrament to word. Now if you read the documents on the priesthood, now this may surprise you. The first and primary duty of the priest is preaching. What I'm doing to you right now, preaching. Then the sacraments. Now you probably thought that first the sacraments and then preaching. It's first preaching, then the sacraments. Now why? Because the efficacy of the sacraments depends upon the prior preaching of the Word of God. Because someone could come in that door who was a baptized Catholic, made his first communion maybe 50 years ago, and doesn't have the foggiest idea of what communion is. Totally oblivious to the reality of what communion is. So he comes up and receives communion, and he doesn't even know what it is. Just a piece of bread. But if he were to come in to listen to this homily and pay attention and hear the words of Father Broom that the communion is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, the greatest gesture on planet Earth is to receive communion. If he were listening to me, he would come up and make a better communion, right? Hello? So preaching is very important. Let's go back to the topic I'm trying to expound to you this morning. This morning at 5:45, I started my meditation. And I finished it about 7:05, around that time. So I was meditating a good hour and 15, 20 minutes. When I was meditating, what jumped out of the page is what I'm preaching on. Just the whole idea of spiritual paternity, okay? The inspiration was, maybe you don't have any formal preparation, just go for it. I'll give you the words, okay? And I've been studying St. Augustine over the past couple of months. I love St. Augustine. Profound thinker. He was quoted very often by Thomas Aquinas. Did you know that? Maybe you read the Summa Theologica. Maybe you said it at Santo Tomas in Manila, huh? And St. Augustine, a very profound thinker, says this. Okay, what I did this morning was I read this first reading from the Magnificat. And it captivated me. I feel the Holy Spirit was there. So it went, the Word of God went from the page into my eyes. And it went from there, it ascended into my mind. It went into my mind, into my memory bank. So I've got this memorized. And from my memory, it went into my capacity of understanding. Because memory and understanding are two different faculties in the same mind. It went into my imagination, in which I was developing this thought, imagining myself even preaching to you people this morning. So my imagination became reality right now. And then what it did was it sunk through the help of the Holy Spirit into my heart. And now what happened? Now, what is in my heart is surfacing, and it's coming out of my mouth now. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus says. So it's flowing in words, in concepts, in ideas, flowing freely, spontaneously from my mouth. And what's happening now is going into your mind, into your memory, into your understanding. And hopefully, if you're open, it's sinking into the depths of your heart. Spiritual paternity, St. Augustine. I love it, don't you? I love it. So what I have received in my own meditation, I'm sharing with you. This is pure St. Augustine. So you're going to be leaving this morning understanding the whole idea of spiritual paternity, and that's the best way to defend celibacy. Amen? Anyone ever question celibacy? My homily today is the best way to defend it, if you've been listening to me. We renounce biological paternity so we can dedicate ourselves totally to meditating upon the Word of God, celebrating the sacraments, but preaching the Word of God in season and out of season for the purpose of the salvation of souls. And that's the gospel reading today. The harvest is rich. The harvest is very rich, but the laborers are few. Beg the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to make an abundant harvest for the salvation of souls. Amen.